Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and it's like a dream come true for me, ladies and gentlemen, to be able to spend some time with you every day. And it's not like a dream come true. It is a dream come true for me to be able to spend time with you and introduce you to some really good people, really smart people, like our good friend Joan Pride, who is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And it's always a pleasure to have Joan with us. Joan, welcome back.
Hey there, Jim. Boy, when you say senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, it sounds so important.
It does. Yeah. It doesn't sound old at all, does it?
No.
Not like, you
old,
know, the senior
no.
thing?
Didn't even think of that.
We won't go there, will we?
Careful.
Oh, let me tell you what happened to me the other day.
What happened?
And this doesn't happen to me. In fact, it hasn't happened to me in years. But I was traveling, and I went up. I was in an airport, and I went up, and the lady asked me if I wanted a senior discount.
No.
I said, no, thank you.
Ooh.
I'll take my business elsewhere.
Ooh.
No, I didn't say that. But I don't know why she asked me. I think I can see why she
You're
would
quite
think,
useful, though.
But why didn't she just give it to me? Why would I do say, no, please don't give me money
if
back.
If you're eligible for it, I'm sure you'd want it.
But the last time that happened, I actually wasn't old enough. And the lady, that did offend me because I wasn't old enough when the first time I was asked that. But
oh,
anyway,
wait, so you're eligible for it.
I am now.
But you're still offended by being
well,
offered.
Well, I would rather.
I don't understand that.
I would rather they keep their money and keep their mouth shut. That's what I would rather they do. See, my pride is worth more than my money is, Joan.
Yeah, but I'd only be upset if I wasn't eligible for it.
I mean,
if you're eligible for it, then I think you have to.
If it was big bucks, like if they
reality
were,
here,
like
Jim.
If they were going to give me a senior discount on a Jaguar, you know, I'd take that.
Oh.
But you know, on a cup of coffee and a sandwich, my pride is worth more than 30, 40 cents.
You're going to need to face reality.
I know it. I'm fighting it. I'm kicking
yeah,
and screaming
kicking
all the
and
way.
Screaming.
Yeah, and just wait, Missy.
No,
you just wait, little Missy. You just wait, little Missy. Your time is coming.
I know. Very soon.
The time has also come, Joan, in the Middle East, where we have another war.
Boy,
and
it's pretty.
And
bad.
it is a real war, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh gosh, no question about it.
It's very sad, but I'll tell you, you got to whether anybody agrees with Israel or not, you got to admire those guys. Because they have a line beyond which they won't go. I mean, these are the kind of guys that'll take it and take it and take it. But at some point in time, they'll say, you know what? If you're going to keep punching us, we're just going to punch back.
Right.
More so than the United States. They're better at it than we are. And so they had been retreating, Joan, as you know, from parts of Palestine. It was the Gaza Strip, and I've forgotten where else, other areas. And yeah. For 6 years, they've been retreating. And apparently, it wasn't enough for Hezbollah. They had to try to incite them to riot. And Israel said, you know what? We're not going to put up with this anymore. Not only are we going to fight back, but we're going to. It sounds to me like they're committed to destroying Hezbollah.
Right. Well, and they know too. Keep in mind that this isn't just Hezbollah. There's a big, huge country with all their weaponry behind Hezbollah. Because
yeah.
Hezbollah couldn't do this all by themselves.
Hezbollah and Hamas are the straw men for Syria and Iran, aren't they?
Particularly Iran. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what's interesting about this, Joan, if anything about this could be interesting, is the fact that Syria and Iran, who ordinarily would not be buddies, are in cahoots on this because Syrians are typically the leadership there, at least, and most Syrians are Sunnis, and the Iranians are Shiites.
Right.
But they apparently have gotten together on this and are working together, it seems, that the experts are saying that they are. But you're right, it's not just Hezbollah, but they're the ones who are, the Israel, what we really have is Israel is the straw man for the West, especially America.
Right.
And Hezbollah and even Hamas, I guess, although we haven't heard much about them, mostly Hezbollah, they are the straw men for Iran.
Yes, exactly.
And so they're, one of them's the David and the other's the Goliath, and they're out there fighting for their armies, basically.
No, that's true. But what's also interesting is that some of the other Middle Eastern countries, which would also be very quick to denounce Israel and back whoever Israel's opponent would be, in this case are not, you know, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and others mm-hmm. are not rushing into the breach because they are not very enamored with Iran.
Well, that's one of the, you know, Saudi Arabia is very much concerned about Iran getting any kind of power, especially nuclear power.
Yeah.
Because there's no love lost between those two organizations, are there?
Yep. That's
those two
right.
cultures.
That's right.
In fact, many people believe that the growth of Wahhabism, the investment that Saudi Arabia has made in radical Wahhabi teachings around the world was prompted by the overthrow of the Shah and the gaining of strength of the mullahs in Iran back in the late 70s and early 80s.
Right.
That what happened there, the Saudi Arabia reacted to that and proliferated radical Wahhabi Islam around the world.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, and it's making strange bedfellows. Well, what does Kiplinger think is going to happen, Joan? Is it going to turn into something bigger than it is right now?
Well, we're saying that a full scale invasion can't be ruled out. And, you know, Lebanon is starting to break apart. But we do say that a wider war isn't going to happen. In other words, Iran and Syria coming in mm-hmm. and getting involved directly.
Well, it's a shame that Lebanon, after all those years of being under Syria, had finally Syria, the United States has sort of contributed to getting Syria out of Lebanon. They'd sort of started their own government, which the United States was supporting. It's just a shame that a certain group of Lebanese voted considerable control to members of the Hezbollah party.
Right.
Which and here's what a lot of people may not realize, Joan, might not think about. The problem with Hezbollah and Hamas is they have and guys like El Sadr in Iraq is these are members of the government who have their own militias.
Oh, right.
See, that's the problem. It'd be like the Democrat Party having its own, Army Reserve or something, or National Guard.
Yeah,
and they decided to go off, and they decided, you know, let's say that, you know, one half of the Democrat or Republican Party decided to go attack Canada with their army. That's what's going on here, folks.
Right.
20 after. We'll be right back with Joan Pride. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. When you wake up in the morning, we're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Use it to your advantage, folks. It's free. It's there for you. No barrier to entry at all, except that you have to have a computer and a connection to the Internet. Otherwise, it's all free, except for the books. You buy a book. If you need a book there, we like for you to pay for those. But otherwise, everything there is free. It's to your advantage, and you can thank our great corporate partners for that, too, by the way. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And, Joan, we're talking about the situation in the Middle East.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. It's hard to believe, it's hard to imagine that Israel will have gone as far as they have gone now without going ahead and finishing the job with regard to doing everything they can to ending Hezbollah as much as they can as a neighbor of theirs.
Now, Hezbollah
is really all over the world, aren't they?
Yeah. They're, oh, sure.
I mean, they can't root Hezbollah out all over the world, but they can do what they can to root them out of their region. And, you know, Joan, when we went to the break, I was talking about a political party having its own military. like al-Sadr, the Shiite cleric in Iraq, has his own militia, which we got to get rid of. We should have already zapped him a long time ago.
Right.
Because he's a murderer basically, but Hezbollah and I guess Hamas, although we haven't heard much about them lately, have their political parties that were voted into the government of Lebanon, but they got their own armies. And so anytime, folks, you have a political party with its own army, Joan, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, and I'm pretty happy that the Democrats and Republicans don't have their own armies in this country.
Yeah, just when we thought there wasn't anything new to worry about, right?
Yeah.
Joan, is the solution over there going to be a NATO-led sort of 20-mile buffer zone or something over there between Israel and Lebanon? What do you think?
Well,
isn't that one of the things they're talking about?
Yeah. I'm still fixated on this whole issue of whether there's going to be an immediate ceasefire or not. The politics of that are fascinating to me, because you would think the knee-jerk reaction of everybody would be for a ceasefire, but the United States, as we say here, strangely enough, is not pushing for that.
Mm-mm. No. Well, that's because a ceasefire would really be a victory for the terrorists.
Right.
It would be a victory for Hamas. I think Hamas has to be defeated. I think Israel and the United States have the right plan about this. Hamas needs to be defeated to the degree that it can be defeated, because not only would it be a victory for Hezbollah, it'd be a victory for Iran and Syria, a ceasefire, wouldn't it?
However, also, though, I wonder if Hezbollah can be defeated at this point, given the support it has from Syria and Iran.
Well, that's the big question
to be answered. Is Israel now in a quagmire?
Well, they may be. And, of course, we know what that looks like, don't we?
And I don't know the answers to these questions, so I just thought I would raise them.
No, I agree. I mean, nobody does. And only time will tell. And even the Israelis, even though they have a plan, I don't think they know exactly. They don't have any idea how this thing's going to play out.
Right.
But I will tell you one thing. If there was ever anybody in a free country who cares about peace in the world and the world having any kind of stability, who were previously indifferent to whether Iran had nuclear weapons or not, I don't think they're indifferent anymore.
I think they need to care quickly.
I think we all need to care. And it's like what John McCain said, Senator John McCain. He said, hopefully we won't have to, and I'm paraphrasing him, hopefully it won't take military action, but we have to do whatever we have to do to make sure Iran doesn't get nuclear weapons.
Oh, that's right. Sure.
Whatever we have to do, and that's not paraphrasing him very much there, by the way, John.
Right. Yeah.
But no, it'll be very interesting to see this, and I'll tell you, Iran is a real problem for the world right now, isn't it?
It is.
We've got to figure out how to do something about those folks. And Joan, for small businesses, this instability, this unrest over this increased unrest over there is not helping us, because it's driven gas prices through the roof again, hasn't it?
Boy, yes. And there's no end in sight, it seems like.
Yeah. Although, according to you guys, maybe they've stabilized a little bit, but they stabilized high, though. They just aren't continuing to go through the roof. But what was the high, 77 a barrel?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, and what was it? 3 years ago, it was like $28 a barrel or something like that?
It's amazing the difference in just 3 years.
And all because of the speculation arising out of the unrest over there.
Yes.
The other thing, quickly, Joan, the Prime Minister of Iraq was in the United States recently, spoke to the press and to Congress, and there was a little controversy over that, wasn't there?
Oh, there was? I missed that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure. Well, he didn't, the Prime Minister, Maliki, I think is his name, did not denounce Hezbollah. And some people didn't like that. But you got to realize, folks, that man has got lots and lots of different things going on in his world. And one thing he doesn't need to do is get in the middle of another. He doesn't need to complicate his world by getting into really what's somebody else's fight. And I don't blame him for what he did. 29 after, we're going to be right back with Joan Pride. When we come back, we're going to talk about the economy. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Joan Pride's here, too, because we're going to talk about the economy. Joan is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and you know, as senior editor, that does make her a pretty important person.
You bet.
In Washington. Joan, didn't they have the 50 most beautiful people in Washington? Didn't they release that recently? And you were on that list, weren't you?
Of course.
Yeah, so I was thinking you were. So, congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you.
The economy, Joan, you guys, Kiplinger actually did it. You used the R word.
Well, I don't think we used it.
Okay.
We did on our chart. There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
On the chart,
right there.
But it's just not in the text.
And we're not talking Republican here either, are we?
No. And this is not politics.
Or Redskins. It's not Redskins.
No,
it's
that I wouldn't mind talking
it's
about.
It's the other R word.
Yes. Is it okay for me to say it?
You can say it.
Okay. Well, we were talking about the possibility of a recession.
Creeping into.
And what's scary to me about this item is that we didn't rule it out completely. We said it isn't likely.
Okay, Joan, define for the audience what a recession is.
Well, is it? I think it's at more or two or more quarters of a downturn, and the economists like to say negative growth, but I hate that term.
Well, I like that term.
Yeah, but it's kind of it's an oxymoron.
Well, no, that's how they measure things.
But if you're growing, you're not. It's not negative.
Oh, negative. I see what you mean. Yeah. Well, okay. So, but a downturn could be from 3% to 4%, but still not negative. It's still not below the line.
You mean 4% to 3%?
I mean 4%, 3%. It's still not. Doesn't go below the water level.
Right.
But,
that's true.
So that's not accurate either. But I think the audience gets it, Joan. And so it's two consecutive quarters, at least two consecutive quarters of contraction below. So instead of 1% growth, it's minus 0.1 or something like that.
Exactly.
In growth. That's what a recession is. And I don't, you know, Joan, I don't see that happening. And you guys don't really either. And you give us some pretty darn good reasons why.
Right. We say there's good cushioning to prevent a hard fall and allow us to kind of come in for what they call a soft landing.
So you write this stuff, Joan. That's really good stuff.
It sure is.
Cushioning is brilliant.
We say that job growth will be strong all the way through 2007. We don't say it's going to be spectacular, but I don't think at this point we want spectacular because we don't want to fuel inflation.
No, the job growth is very strong. Something like, Joan, in the last 3 years, something like 5 million jobs have been created. And, Joan, you know what? Apparently, that's like twice as many jobs as Europe, and I've forgotten, I read something the other day, you know, like half the rest of the world is twice as many jobs as those other countries created combined.
Combined. Wow.
Yeah. Including the EU, and I've forgotten who the other groups were. But I mean, that's just an incredible number of jobs. When you've got that many people at work, Joan, I can't be, you know, negative about the health of this economy. Also, personal incomes are up, right?
That's right, and above inflation rates. And we also say, we use this phrase interestingly, strong household balance sheets.
That is an interesting combination there.
What I think it means is households don't have too much debt, although I think they have rising amounts of debt.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of what they mean there is when the on the balance sheet is you know the asset obviously the assets versus liabilities. The one thing this inflation is doing is it's holding their assets up a little bit. The values of their homes, their stocks are up a little bit. And so, you know, I think the point there, Joan, is if you remember back in the 90s when we all felt rich because of the way
things... On paper, we were rich.
Yeah, on paper, everyone was rich, especially if they were invested in the stock market. I think that's what you guys may be talking about there, isn't it? That folks are feeling, you know, not feeling too badly about themselves.
Right.
Sales is good. Cash flow is good. Small businesses are doing pretty well on cash flow. You guys report that. I think you're right about that.
We know cash is king.
Absolutely right. Demand is good across the country. And you know, Joan, another thing that has to happen with recession is you've got to have oversupply and lower demands. And one of the things that this marketplace has gotten really good at is not getting too much stuff in the pipeline that can't be diverted in other ways.
Right.
Which part of which has been helped by what small business owners do every day, and that's just-in-time inventory rather than the old-fashioned just-in-case inventory.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think you're right. I don't think we're going to have a recession, but a little bit of a slowdown would be welcomed. It's 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And I'm excited about telling you about our good friends at the Kiplinger Editors. And you know that I am because I've been doing this a long time. Joan is senior editor there, and they've got an outstanding website, Kiplinger.com, that I like to use all the time, and I encourage you to use it as well. And a lot of free stuff there, but or there's things that are in the back of the site, so to speak, kind of in the bowels of the Kiplinger site that you can get to if you're a subscriber to any of their publications, like the Kiplinger Letter, which is weekly, and then there are three bi-weekly letters, Joan, the tax letter, the agriculture letter, and the California letter. And then you got a magazine, too, don't you?
You bet. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And it's also on newsstands, and Joan, there's a phone number, too, that you can use to
That's
subscribe.
Right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Whatever Kiplinger does, folks, is high quality. And as I say, as I said before, they don't pay me a nickel to say that. I just I like telling you about good people. Joan, before we leave the economy, Mr. Bernanke and his folks at the Fed have really got a problem right now, don't they? They're trying to figure out, okay, is the economy overheating? How much is inflation a problem? How much is the high price of oil, you know, is it going to kick in a little bit and hold the economy down a little bit? And what's going on there? Should they raise rates to try to hold the economy back? At some point in time, will they go too far? And is this going to hurt small business owners, which it is, by the way, right now? You know, how much is too much? That's the problem they got right now, isn't it, in terms
right.
of raising interest rates?
Exactly.
And so you guys don't give us, you say that you don't know what they're going to do, don't you?
Well, yeah, and that's not like us, I realize.
And the meeting on August 8th, by the way, folks, in a week, about 2 weeks.
Right, right. Usually we kind of give you what we think is going to happen, but we say that the Fed is looking at all these different indicators, and the problem is that we're not sure if the indicators are going to be black and white or if they're going to be kind of gray.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would really like to see the Fed take what I consider to be a leadership position, and not raise rates again. I mean, I just think that they've had, 17 increases in a row?
I mean,
where's the, you know, That's awfully predictable to me, folks. I just would like to see them take a breather, and I hope they.
I personally would love it if they would take a breather.
If they do that next time,
yeah.
Joan, let's move over and talk on the page three and talk about illegal workers,
illegal
folks that are coming in, and this is a problem that we continue to talk about. What's the news there?
Well, we're saying that we see a compromise forming on how to deal with immigration reform, although we don't expect it to pass this year. We think that there looks like there could be a guest worker program, but it would be based on a trigger. In other words, the president would have to certify that progress was being made to stop illegal immigrants from coming into the country,
mm-hmm.
and then guest workers would be allowed. So I guess they, you know, the argument there would be trying to determine what, how to define progress. And,
well, we can't call it amnesty, can we?
Oh, you mean for the guest worker program?
Yeah, isn't that
right,
something? Isn't
right.
that like an inflammatory term in amnesty?
Right. Guest
folks?
Worker to me means you're in for a while, and then you have to go home or apply for citizenship.
And amnesty means all is
amnesty
forgiven.
Amnesty just means we forgive you for whatever you've done in the past, and there's a lot of people who would be dead set against that.
Well, and I think we ought to give people an opportunity to earn amnesty. To earn what would be tantamount to amnesty by becoming a guest worker and registering and paying your taxes,
right?
Putting yourself on a road towards citizenship and that sort of thing, but Joan, as you guys pointed out, it doesn't do any good to do all that if we haven't stopped the bleeding at the border.
Well, and that's why this idea of a trigger tying the two together. Looks like it may form the basis of a compromise.
You know what's really sad, and what nobody really could have foreseen. I say nobody. I guess maybe some people did. But with the, it's a shame that the Mexican government squandered NAFTA, which is what they did basically. The reason people are coming to the United States isn't because they like the Mexican food over here better than they do over there. it's because of work. It's jobs.
They need opportunity, and this is where they're seeing the opportunity.
They need to make money. And if the Mexican government had not squandered the opportunity that was dropped in their lap with NAFTA,
right,
they would have better jobs. The economy would be in better shape in Mexico.
Well, the political system is a little problematic over there, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah, I was just trying to be a little bit understated there.
Of course, Mr. Fox is gone.
Yes, that's true.
And we got a new guy, we think, right?
And a disputed election.
Right. Ortega, is that his name?
No,
it's not. It's like that. It's something
it's
like
called
that.
No, it's not Calderon.
I forgot. Anyway, yeah. but apparently he's more the moderate, which is a good thing. But it'll be interesting to see if that would be something, Joan, concurrent with stopping the bleeding at the border and getting guest worker and moving towards citizenship for the folks who are here, concurrent with that, if we could get the Mexican economy going, that would neutralize the border a lot more, wouldn't it?
Well, we've already done as much as we could probably do, you
on
know,
this side.
With NAFTA, so they're going to have to step up.
Right. They've got to do that.
I think.
But I read a report a while back that Mexico was, in terms of converting investment dollars into a benefit, into something good for investors, that Mexico was below something like Angola, countries like Angola.
Wow.
Yeah, they didn't do a very good job of that. It's almost 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back with Joan Pride. When we come back, we're going to talk about the federal budget and a little more on politics. Seven till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, let's move down and talk about insurance before we get over into some of the politics that we were going to talk about. Let's talk about some insurance. This thing about Big Brother getting involved in our driving, talk to us about that. That bothers me a little bit.
Yes, we say invite Big Brother for a ride. What we're saying is, I don't know if I like this, but we're saying that companies are developing a memory stick device that will go into your car and track the way you drive, how fast you drive, where you drive, and all that.
Mm.
And if the insurer who takes all this data likes what it sees, then you'll get a discount.
Right, maybe as much as 15%.
Right? Yes, Yeah, so if it's worth it to you, then
so
you might want to do it.
So if you never speed, like me, Joan, like me, right?
And you, oh, yeah, like you.
If you never speed or anything like that, then, you know, you never drive a little bit faster on the interstates than you should, then you know, maybe you wouldn't mind putting the memory stick in your car. I'm not sure that I want, you know, see, I'm gonna not do that, Joan, on the grounds of privacy.
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking,
too. That's my
too.
Story.
And although it's going to have to be a pretty sophisticated memory stick, because if you're going 40, let's say, for example, somewhere, the memory stick would have to know that it's, say, for example, in a 30-mile-an-hour zone.
That's
or
right.
40-mile-an-hour zone.
But there aren't any 80-mile-an-hour zones, though, Joan.
Oh, that's true.
So, you know.
That could be a problem for me.
For interstate, on the interstate.
But, you know, some states are raising the state speed limit up to, I was just reading this in the paper, up to as high as 70 in some places.
Oh, yeah, no, a lot of states have 70.
Yeah.
Most interstates now are 70.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
where have you been, Joan?
Not by me.
but not
the old
higher.
Washington Beltway is still 55.
Not higher than that. Some businesses are dropping storm insurance, Joan. How come?
Well, it's just too expensive.
Yeah.
They'd rather pay pay for the damage out of pocket.
Well, Joan, remember we talked about this after 9-1-1. Warren Buffett, whose companies own a lot of insurance companies,
right?
He said we did not charge enough for this kind of potential after 9-1-1.
Right.
And then, of course, certain of the hurricanes, he felt the same way about that. And so insurance has gone through the roof, especially liability. And P&C insurance, you know, it's bad enough that the health insurance was too expensive, but P&C, property and casualty, and storm insurance and that sort of thing, that's really gotten almost prohibitive for a lot of small businesses, Joan.
And flood insurance.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
For those
yeah.
that need it.
Yep. And so what's happened is, you know, these insurance companies have said, you know what, if we're going to have, you know, I mean, I think they raised prices enough to prepare for another attack like 9-1-1.
Well, I think, sure.
And for the hurricane season, the, you know, increased hurricanes, that sort of thing.
You know what you call that?
What?
Closing the barn door after the horse
exactly.
has been stolen.
And that's exactly what he said. We should have already done this. And so that's what's making this so dramatic. And so, consequently, a lot of people are not buying it because it's just too expensive.
Right.
And that's unfortunate.
It is.
And we'll see how that rolls out. Joan, Mr. Bush gave us his first veto this last week, didn't he?
Right. It was on a bill to allow stem cell research to be funded by federal dollars.
Yeah. What's going to happen with all that?
Well, one thing that we know won't happen will be an override of the veto, so this issue is dead for this year.
Mm-hmm.
But we do say that there could be more vetoes coming.
Huh. On what?
Including the defense spending bill. And because Congress is trying to cut some of what the president has proposed, and he just doesn't accept that.
So he vetoed it, and then what would happen? They go back to the drawing board, or what would happen?
They would have to, I think, sure.
Go back, and would they? Would this be something that would have to be done before the election?
Well, I think it could become an election issue if it isn't done before the election.
Mm-hmm.
Although I have to tell you, we're running out of time here in Washington. The Congress is on the verge of going away for its nice big
right.
month-long vacation
right.
and won't be back till after Labor Day. And then they're not going to want to stay around long because
no.
people have campaigns to run.
That's right. So
and
there's not
now,
a whole lot of work
this year more
done,
so than ever.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how all that rolls out. Joan, thank you for being here. As always, good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
And we will see you next week.
I'll be happy to be back.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors and a great American. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, each and every one of you. Thank you for all that you do for all of us. You're my heroes. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.